You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, having a fascinating discussion with one of my favorite guests. He's Neil Levin, Senior Nutrition Education Manager and a product formulator for Now Foods, which is the consumer brand for Protocol for Life Balance, which is the professional brand. He's an award-winning board-certified clinical nutritionist and also a former officer of the American Nutrition Association, the ANA. You played an important role in the founding of that organization, didn't you?
Yeah, I was one of four original board members of the parent organization that became the American Nutrition Association. I was actually around when that charity that had started with Nutrition for Optimal Health Association, NOAA, started doing business as the American Nutrition Association, which later became incorporated as its own entity. And I was actually on the charitable board for a few years after that as well. So I've been on numerous corporate boards and charities, but that's close to my heart, the American Nutrition Association, because I was good friends with Michael Stroka, the late, the real founder of the American Nutrition Association, and I supported him all the way. And we even did trips to lobby for in state capital here in Illinois for getting the licensure and ability to practice for non-dietitian nutritionists who had, in many cases, master's degrees or PhDs, and because they weren't dietitians, they were restricted in having any practice or even being able to give nutritional advice despite their expertise. So we were able to enshrine that into law, and that's been copied in other states as well, allowing the certified nutritional specialists and other people with, really good credentials, legitimate credentials, allowing the practice in a way similar to dietitians. They each have their sphere of expertise, and we don't want to deny anyone the ability to practice to the extent of their training.
Indeed. And, that's also a cause that's near and dear to my heart, the American Nutrition Association. I'm actually now currently chair of the BCNS, which is a board for certification of nutrition specialists, of which I am. I am a CNS as well as an MD. And it's a great credential, and I would encourage our listeners who are health professionals to consider joining the American Nutrition Association and become part of an initiative to really reshape our current policies towards the use of nutrition and supplements to support health. Really, that's our mission statement, is to broaden the initiative to put nutrition at, front and center in our effort to combat chronic degenerative diseases, for which we spend a lot of money on pharmaceutical drugs, but where we're making a lot of, sometimes, not so much progress. But that's what the ANA does. All right, good stuff. Let's get back to, our subject, which is sleep and emotional wellness, the supportive role of amino acids. We talked about 5-HT and tryptophan, which support serotonin. So what are some of the other ways that amino acids can have an impact on mood?
Well, one of the more common ones for mood is called GABA, G-A-B-A, which is an acronym for an amino acid, gamma-aminobutyric acid. And it's a non-essential amino acid that's derived from glutamic acid, which is the essential amino acid. Glutamic acid is the parent compound for L-glutamine, which is used for the gut health and for the brain. But in the brain, glutamine largely converts to GABA. Now, GABA is also largely produced by healthy gut bacteria. And just like most of the melatonin, serotonin is produced and utilized in the gut, a lot of the GABA is produced in the gut also. The GABA, once it circulates in the body, will cross the blood-brain barrier if it's attached to phospholipids, like lecithin-type compounds, allow it to pass through the blood-brain barrier. And in the brain, it's known as a major inhibitory neurotransmitter. And what that means is that it stops the excited nature of neurons firing too quickly, that it calms them down and makes them go at a measured, reasonable pace. So it helps get rid of nervous excitement and, you know, that kind of thing, irritability. Sometimes that's caused by diet, the so-called Chinese restaurant syndrome with the MSG, mm-hmm. and some of these excitotoxins, they call them, Dr. Blaylock would call them that, mm-hmm. Would excite the neurons. And if you don't have magnesium in the brain and GABA and other things, then the neurons can actually become overexcited, get damaged, and even die. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to lose any of your brain cells. You want to keep them as long as possible. So GABA is the body's way of managing, controlling, balancing this process.
And so GABA would then have an anti-anxiety effect in general. You know, having optimal levels could help tamp down brain impulses, which are kind of out of control.
Yeah, because about two-thirds of all of our nerve synapses are using GABA to control those messaging, the pace of the messaging. Apprehension, stress regulation, circadian rhythm, sleep regulation, memory enhancement, mood, pain perception. And if you have low level of GABA or you can't control your levels of GABA well, then there's disruption of sleep quality, ability to stay calm, deal with stress. And so a lot of the studies nowadays are looking at the effects of GABA supplementation on stress and sleep by modulating the autonomic nervous system, like the sympathetic nervous system, and regulating cortisol secretion. Cortisol, of course, is one of the main stress hormones produced in the adrenal gland, and it's well known that serotonin and melatonin are like antidotes to high cortisol levels, that the body uses cortisol during the day to give you energy, and serotonin and melatonin raise at night to tamp down that cortisol, which otherwise is a chronic stress hormone. But if used appropriately, it'll wake you up in the day, give you some alertness, and then taper off in the evening as these other neurotransmitters take over. So there should be a circadian rhythm of these things. And if cortisol is chronically high, you don't have that, and you're not going to sleep, you're not going to rest. GABA is one of the body's techniques for controlling this naturally.
So what are some of the ways that we can access the effects of GABA via supplementation? I know there are GABA supplements, and there is also the notion that if you take L-theanine, that it promotes GABA in the body. So is it either or both, or, you know, when do you decide which to take?
Well, GABA is the main one the body uses. I mean, that's a standard. That's like the one that you want to take because that's the one the body mostly uses. Theanine is found in the tea plant, like green tea, black tea. There's more in green tea than black tea. And theanine, an amino acid that is not that common, is believed to be the reason why you could drink tea and be more relaxed, despite the amount of caffeine in there, mm-hmm. than if you had the equivalent amount of coffee and that amount of caffeine.
And that's so one of the reasons why it's sort of a keep calm and carry on. As part of British culture is tea time. And however, England is going the way the rest of the world, you know, with Starbucks, and everybody's reverting to coffee, which gives you kind of a more jagged high. There's nothing relaxing about coffee. It's a pure stimulant. But tea seems to be sort of balanced. It's got a little bit of caffeine, about a third as much as coffee, but it contains this ingredient, L-theanine, which also has a sort of a calming and focusing effect. Not necessarily making you sleepy, because you can absolutely take theanine and operate machinery or drive a car. It's not going to knock you out, right? But it's sort of a source of calm focus.
Right. In clinical studies, it supports relaxation, but without drowsiness, and it still promotes cognitive function. So if someone were taking a test and they were nervous, I would suggest theanine as a nice supplement for them. Mm-hmm. Theanine does promote the release of GABA, and GABA regulates the dopamine and serotonin levels in the brain. So again, GABA has a role in this whole cascade of neurotransmitters. GABA helps manage the levels of serotonin. So, SSRIs aren't the only way to do that. There's other substances that the body uses, and when those systems break down, you might need a medication, but some of the people on the medication might need GABA or something else, and instead they're getting a medication to more directly control those levels instead of doing it more elegantly the way the body is designed.
Mm-hmm. Is there an argument for taking GABA and theanine simultaneously, and do you have some supplement formulations that provide both?
There are reasons to take them together. I don't believe we have them together, but since if you take theanine, it's going to increase the production of GABA from precursors.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're taking GABA alone, there's going to be some feedback mechanisms in a healthy person that's going to say, okay, the things that are converting into GABA, like glutamic acid, L-glutamine, can be used to build muscle or have other effects elsewhere. And again, just like tryptophan has other benefits to the body, other uses, not just going to serotonin, so does glutamic acid and its metabolites. They can do other things if you have a healthy feedback mechanism and the body's figuring out, okay, you have enough in this pathway, we're going to shunt it to the other pathway.
Okay, so you offer pure L-tryptophan available as 500 milligram veggie caps, as well as 1,000 milligram tablets. You've got 5-HTP from a natural source, Griffonia, as 100 milligram and 200 milligram capsules. You have GABA as 750 milligram capsules, I see here, and L-theanine as 200 milligram capsules. You also have a combo product called Clinical Stress Relief. What's that? What are some of the ingredients there?
Yeah, Clinical Stress Relief is an interesting product. We're using the botanical herb ashwagandha in there,
okay,
which a lot of people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we add to that is a specific milk protein derivative called lactam.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory behind that, some researchers in France noticed that when there was a newborn baby who was nursing, they go right to sleep after they nurse. And within a few months, when they nurse, they're still awake. They don't. And they tried to figure out why, being a curious scientist. And what they determined was that the baby only imperfectly digested the milk protein and resulted in peptide, this compound from the protein, that made them sleepy.
Hmm.
And when their digestive system was more fully developed at about 6 months, they no longer produced this. They broke the protein down to amino acids and not this larger compound.
It's kind of like nature's way of regulating the uptake of this sleep-inducing compound, because past a certain age, it's probably not ideal to be sleeping all the time. You know, it's the time of that a toddler begins discovery and their sensory organs begin to get trained and so on.
Right. So it's an artifact of the digestive system developing that is still useful. And when they figured out if they gave this peptide to adults, they got the calming, sleep-enhancing effect that babies were getting. Because they were getting a peptide that was still partially broken down so that they weren't breaking it down all the way to amino acids, like they would normal milk. So it's a way to enhance going to sleep for adults. And with the ashwagandha, we've got an adaptogenic herb that helps control the cortisol and the stress chemicals in the body as well.
Okay, and ashwagandha is generally something that we'd want to take later in the day because of its relaxing effect. It's considered sort of an adaptogen, an anti-stress hormone that helps to tame excess cortisol, and it's more relaxing than energizing.
Right, and since you want your peak of cortisol in the body to give you energy, you know, and alertness in the early afternoon, you know, 1 or 2 p.m. maybe, and you want your maximum of melatonin at about maybe 2 a.m. to counter it, you know, this alternating peaks, you know, certainly ashwagandha would tend to do more benefit later in the day than earlier, because that's when the stress hormones like cortisol are naturally declining in a healthy person.
And there's another what is considered an adaptogen, which is rhodiola, that I believe is more stimulating, that you know, may be helpful for low mood to energize or enhance mood. Is it clear what neurotransmitter pathway it works on, or has that been figured out?
For rhodiola, well, rhodiola is considered an adaptogenic herb also. So again, it helps the body adapt to stresses, including, you know, the stress like cortisol, stress hormones, but other stresses in the body as well, immune stresses, for example. We have a product called Adrenal Cortisol Support, which I formulated about 20 years ago, that is using actually a botanical blend called Relora. It's a blend of two different botanicals. They're proprietary blends. Nobody else has that combination. It's a trademarked ingredient. And we have that in the Adrenal Cortisol Support. But I also added the rhodiola and some of the other things that help with reishi mushroom, for example, that are considered adaptogenic as well. So trying to help the body adapt to stresses, and this one's focused on the cortisol, which causes nervous eating, accumulation of belly fat, those kind of things. So, you know, the stress hormones have
It's a steroid, and, you know, anybody who's seen Amy Schumer these days, you know, she looks kind of bloated. They said that she had Cushing's disease because she was getting some kind of steroid treatment. And, you know, you can also, to some extent, mimic that with the body's own overproduction of cortisol, which gets in the way of fat burning and can cause fat accumulation and resistance to weight loss. So, yeah, that sounds like a plausible way to support a weight loss program potentially. Okay, so let's you know, on a less esoteric level, because, you know, we're talking about these amino acids, they're a little bit less well known. Discuss the role of magnesium, because, you know, it's a simple elemental nutrient, can have a really profound impact on mood, right?
Yeah, magnesium fairly poorly passes the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier is really a part of the circulation system, the capillaries going to the brain, and they're very tight connections to let things out of there into the brain. The blood-brain barrier is designed to avoid biological materials, you know, viruses or whatever, from getting into the brain, but it's also suspicious of water-soluble compounds because the brain is mostly fat. Most of that fat is DHA, one of the omega-3 fatty acids. So the body doesn't like things unless it has some benefit to the brain to let it in. Magnesium, being water-soluble, is not readily passing that blood-brain barrier, but when it's attached to L-threonine, the threonic acid, it does pass better, and this is actually something that was discovered by scientists at MIT about 2010. And they published in the journal
fairly recently,
Neuron.
Because that, you know, magnesium threonate was not a thing until the teens, I believe, right?
Right. So they came out with the MagTeen ingredient, the patent came out in 2014 based on published research in 2010 by MIT. And so the scientists patented it. They came out with it as an ingredient. They've had a number of cell studies, animal studies, and they've had now 3 human clinical trials on healthy adults and numerous ones on not healthy adults with brain issues, mood issues, etc. Magnesium is needed in the brain to help control the neurons, kind of like GABA does, in a different way. And magnesium has been shown to reduce the excitotoxic effect that makes neurons overfire and get damaged, exhausted, dead from this nervous excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may have anti-seizure effects, and that's kind of a clue to its effect in sort of tamping down emotional seizures, because, you know, it may be that anxiety or, you know, various types of psychiatric conditions are seizure-like, and hence they're actually treated sometimes with anti-seizure medication. Magnesium is kind of a natural suppressant of these aberrant nerve impulses that can cause seizures, but also can cause, mood swings.
Yeah, so they found that MagTeen not only supports healthy cognitive function, but learning and memory and relaxed mood. And in as little as 30 days in some of these clinical trials, they're showing significant results on memory, learning, etc. I actually take MagTeen at night to help me go to sleep and relax more, kind of stop the brain from overthinking, which, you know, some of us tend to do.
Is this the supplement that was formerly known as Protosorb Magnesium, and then there's a name change?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so those who were familiar with...
Because MagTeen's sold by other companies. It's a trademark ingredient, so it's not just one company's name or product.
Right.
You know, it's a well-known thing in the marketplace, being sold for about 10 years now.
Okay. So talk to us a little bit about myo-inositol, because that's something that I like to use, especially during pregnancy, because I think it's very safe. I think, you know, maybe you got to be a little careful about high doses of amino acids potentially in pregnancy. You know, I try to keep things relatively simple during pregnancy, but for mood stuff related to... in general, you know, actually, I haven't written many scientific papers, but one of my papers that I have written is a review of magnesium, inositol. And it turns out that relatively high doses of inositol have anti-anxiety effects. It's even been tested against obsessive-compulsive disorder. So what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, they've used inositol for a lot of things. The common inositol you buy as a supplement is myo-inositol. There's another form called D-chiral inositol, which is not very common. Mm-hmm. But if it's just labeled inositol, it's myo-inositol. Mm-hmm. And that's the common form in the diet. That's the common form in the body. They have used it for polycystic ovary syndrome, right. PCOS. Yeah. They've used it for insomnia, for being panicky and nervous. There's pathway in the brain for that as a relaxing. It's in a similar pathway as niacin, is vitamin B3, which affects serotonin and some of the other neurotransmitters. So there's a relationship between inositol and these. Inositol in the diet is largely coming from either grains or lecithin, which is a fraction of fats in the diet. Mm-hmm. So there's phosphatidyl inositol is a form that you would get from lecithin, for example, or from vegetable oils. And from grains, you'd get the myo-inositol. Myo-inositol, by the way, is also an insulin mimic that enhances the effect of insulin and helps support insulin sensitivity. So it's not widely known its role as something that makes blood sugar control work better.
Interesting. So for people who are insulin resistant, you know, type 2 diabetes, that might be a useful supplement apart from its impact on mood. And then there's SAMe. SAMe, another nutrient that's often used for its effects on mood.
Yeah, SAMe is acetylmethionine. Methionine is one of the basic amino acids that you really need to be getting from your diet. And this form is actually the body's main methyl donor, and methylation is used in many, many processes. It's used to make some of the active forms of vitamin B12 in the body. It's used to make the active form of folic acid, folate, in the body. It's used for detoxification in the liver. It's used to make and protect DNA and genetic materials. And in fact, the aging of our cells and of our genes can actually be determined by looking at the products of methylation in them, that methylation helps to protect them and stop them from aging so much. So there's such a wide variety of things that methylation does. It's been used for muscle. It's been used for brain and mood.
Joint pain.
It's been used for joints.
Yeah.
We actually have a claim we can make in Canada on our SAMe for medical claims for joints based on studies at University of California, Irvine using our product. But we can't make medical claims on our products in the U.S. So it's weird. The U.S. studies at U.S. universities showing benefits for people with joint problems are studies we can't cite or claim in the United States, but we can in Canada.
Okay, so last but not least, we're getting to the end of the alphabet. There's a supplement called Zembrine, which is an extract of something I'm not familiar with. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, that's an extract from an herb in South Africa. The herb is called Sclerotium tortuosum,
okay.
But it's an old folk remedy in South Africa for emotional and mental well-being, calmness, mental alertness, both of them together, which is kind of like theanine. Emotional stability, memory, mental flexibility. It doesn't make you drowsy, but it helps you get to sleep faster by relaxing the brain. So it's something that they have modern clinical studies on, an old folk remedy from South Africa. And so there's a trademark ingredient called Zembrin, Z-E-M-B-R-I-N, that we're selling as a supplement now. And we're adding GABA to ours. So, you know, kind of enhance that effect of what it's doing.
Wow, I've got to look into that because, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I feel like, you know, every time we do this type of interview, I feel like, yeah, I pretty much know this and, you know, I'm just going to let Neil Levin, you know, do his thing. But there's always something that I learned, something brand new, and I wasn't aware of that. So good stuff. Finally, and then I'll let you go. Now Vitamins, which is the consumer brand for Protocol for Life Balance, under your initiative, has been undertaking something that I think is of great benefit to the industry, which is that you, at your own expense, are looking at some of the products that are out there to assess whether there are adulterated or counterfeit products out there. You know, when you go on Amazon, you order this, that, or the other thing. Sometimes you're not sure of the quality. So, what are some of your latest findings?
Yeah, we've done something like 13 rounds of this over several years now, where we buy a bunch of products on Amazon that seem to be too good to be true. There's more than we could fit in a capsule.
Right.
Or the price point is ridiculous. What we can buy it for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And so we buy them and test them. And we not only test them ourselves, but we send them out to a third-party lab, Eurofins, which is a fairly well-known, reputable brand in the industry. And we test our product and a bunch of competitors, and we send our – we have the – this lab also buys samples and tests these products, too. So they're testing the same things. So there's confirmatory testing of what we test. We have an international standards organization accredited laboratory. So we are a contract lab. We have the same certifications. But just so that the people could see it's not just us and our lab, we have a third-party lab confirm our results. And we're finding a significant amount of these products are fake. Some of them are simply low in potency. Some of them have no potency. Some of them have something else entirely in there. A few of the products are legitimate, but that's all posted on our webpage. And the latest one we did was we looked at the gummies.
Gummies, yeah, creatine gummies, and creatine is something that I like to take. You know, it's kind of it's helpful for sports, but it's also helpful for the brain. It has something to do with cellular energetics.
Well, yes, muscle, brain, all those things. So one of the things that we found is that, there's a certain amount. If you're making a gummy, you're actually making a liquid candy. And then gelling it.
Yeah.
And there's a maximum amount you could fit in one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And creatine also tends to degrade into creatinine when it's in liquid. So we looked at creatinine as well as creatine, and we found some of these products were almost all creatinine. Some of them were a combination.
Yeah.
Creatinine is not a desirable thing to take.
That's
actually a waste product of the body.
Exactly. I mean, just to interject, if you don't mind, creatinine is something that we measure in the urine, but also in the blood, to determine if someone is headed for a kidney failure. And so excess creatinine cannot be good for did I say liver failure or did I meant to say kidney failure?
Kidney failure.
And so you really don't want to hike your creatinine because, number one, it could give misleading information to your doctor. Your doctor could think you're headed for kidney failure when actually it's because of something you ingested. Or potentially a high level of creatinine could put a burden on your kidneys and accelerate progression to kidney failure. So that is not good.
And we know that in 3 milliliters of water, which is a typical gummy weight, that we'd expect about 42 milligrams of creatine to be dissolved in that liquid. Any other would be super saturated. There'd be more than can dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be not a translucent,
right?
But you'd see there was some kind of thick powder in there.
Right.
And some of these gummies had dosages way above solubility limit, and we're still translucent, which they should be opaque if they had that. There's also issues of how much you could fit in.
Exactly.
In a capsule,
Because creatine is one of those things where you need to take like a teaspoon amount daily, like 5 grams or 5,000 milligrams. And I imagine to make a gummy of that size, it'd have to be the size of a Snickers bar, virtually, to carry that much active ingredient. So that's not the way you want to, that's really not a great vehicle for creatine, maybe for something that's, maybe for melatonin or maybe for something that's a tiny thing, but certainly not, or CBD or, CBD gummies, I think can work, but not for creatine. So the whole concept is bogus. Well, look.
So half the products failed. Half the products looked okay. So that was kind of an even Steven, we were kind of surprised half of them met their label claim. One of them was zero, or two of them were zero creatine and a little bit of creatinine.
Not great.
Actually, three of them had zero creatine and had creatinine. So, some of these products are complete junk. Some of them are okay. You know, but when you're buying on Amazon, you don't know. And by the way, we're not testing our main competitors' products. We assume they're following good manufacturing practices, and you know, we don't need to police them. We're looking at these no-name brands that pop up with something that looks too good to be true.
Exactly, and that's why, and I think that that's really responsible. And I think, you know, you want to maintain good relationship with your competitors. You know, you're competing, but you're not trying to, annihilate them. And you know, as a responsible supplement manufacturer, you'd want to stand up for the legitimacy of all the companies that are doing the right thing. You know, your efforts are certainly appreciated by the industry, and it's kind of above and beyond the call of duty. So again, it kind of underscores the point that you got to be careful, because it's the Wild West out there. You know, when you look at Amazon, makes it easy to shop by price. You know, you can comparison shop. You can find the cheapest item on Amazon. It doesn't necessarily guarantee purity, potency, or safety. And I know that you take great measures to evaluate your products. Recently, you were concerned about ginger in one of your products, a product that I really enjoy taking, which is Ache Action. And I said, you know, where's the Ache Action? I need some more. I need some more. And my patients are clamoring for it. And you said, well, we have a little bit of a holdup in our production because we're trying to source ginger, because some of the sources of ginger, we were concerned about contamination. So we're waiting to get a clean source. And when we get a clean source, we'll start making it again.
Yeah, I know. It's an issue with the quality. And I mean, you know, buying from Amazon is fine, but I suggest anyone who does, they buy something that's sold and fulfilled by Amazon, not just fulfilled by Amazon. And for supplements, look for a recognized brand. You know, I mean, we have some really good competitors that have good products. And if you're buying a no-name brand that's with a price too good to be true, it may well be not too good and not too true.
Right. This gives me an opportunity to plug our full script dispensary, DRHoffmanStore.com, where you can also get the Protocol for Life Balance products. But you can go directly to DRHoffman.com/Protocol for Life Balance to get more information and to order. That's where you can find the full range of products that we talked about today. So great stuff. Anything to add? I think we pretty much covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, just, you know, people should get the good nutrition. You want amino acids, get protein. Use the amino acids to balance or tweak what you're getting from your diet. And, you know, look at these other herbs and things that might, or magnesium that might be useful additions.
Indeed. So, you know, and the bottom line is that, you know, there is a natural pathway to improve sleep and emotional wellness. And, you know, not to ignore the need for, you know, proper psychiatric care should the need arise. But self-care, I think, it is an important way to address minor mood problems. And, you know, you certainly have a full suite of products that can fulfill those needs. So good stuff. Thank you very much for joining us once again. This is Neil from Protocol for Life Balance. It's a pleasure talking to you once again, and I look forward to our next conversation soon. I'm Dr. Robert Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.